There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Top of the morning to you. Welcome in. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Coming up over the next 3 hours, we have Josh Applebaum in 30 minutes, VSiN betting analyst, and a couple of NFL games that he likes this weekend. Sal Palantonio in 90 minutes has covered the Philadelphia Eagles for a long, long time. We'll talk to him about that team in the NFC coming up then. Mike Palm in studio later on, and the great Matt Vaskirjan on MLB. And yesterday was truly a great sports day overall. We will try to get to it as much as possible over the next 3 hours. But it was the most active trading deadline day in the history of the NFL. A bunch of big names were moving all over the place. You didn't know whether or not teams were going to be selling or buying at one point. Some teams did actually both of them. And as a result of what happened, I will say this in terms of what it meant to the market overall with those big names, in quotes, moving on. I talked to three different books yesterday if they adjusted any future numbers. And here's what they told me. Johnny Avella at DraftKings said there was a slight tick down with the Bills. Same for Miami. That was it. William Hill, zero big adjustments. And the Westgate did not adjust any, not a single NFL future. And I thought they had a good angle on Miami. Because that's the one team I figured people would want to bet yesterday after pulling Bradley Chubb. Good quote here from the Westgate when they said they still have to go at KC and then at Buffalo as of right now. That's daunting. Yeah. And that's absolutely true.
I took 28-1. I said, why not? Should be a playoff team. And they were thoroughly outplayed but beat the Bills earlier this year. You know, they don't have any, can't put any pressure on the quarterback. They think they've fixed that now somewhat. 30th in sack rate. You have to love the acquisition of Wilson. Reunited with McDaniel, and you got the 1-2 punch of Mostert and Wilson. That helps out. Remember, they're 5-0 when Tua plays. So, good. Now, they better make the playoffs, though, trades like this.
See, that's the number that I looked for yesterday right away, but it was as high as minus 280 to make the playoffs. And you bet them around what? Minus
plus 130.
Plus 130 before the season started?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now that number that I saw yesterday after the deadline was over was -280, and that was a little bit too high for me to fire on. They do have a tough schedule eventually later on.
Yeah.
But with that passing game, playing home games in the heat, I think they're going to win 10 games. That's their win total right now. Their updated win total is 10. I think that's fair.
Yep. Beat the Bears, beat Houston, you're on your way. I'd say worst case, you're 9-8 then. So I'm glad they're going for it. Those are two good moves.
Yep. Yep. I can give you this on Chubb right now. Miami ranks 21st overall in pressure rate, but they blitz at the 7th highest rate in the entire league. Miami rushes 4 guys at the 2nd lowest rate in the entire NFL. So now you can put him on the opposite side of Jalen Phillips, and now that can, you know, up those numbers quite a bit, and that can reduce the amount of times that you're going to actually blitz, which could, you know, obviously change things around and help out a little bit with the secondary. So I thought some of those numbers really made sense why they would make a move like this. And now when you look overall what happened here, Paul, if you have to go all the way back to the Laremy Tunsil draft day debacle with the bong mask, that night turned into Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Bradley Chubb. And that's an A+.
O'Brien had a hand in that horrible trade.
That's right.
Horrible GM, and yes.
But that
he was running the Texans. Absolutely. Great job. Right. And what a night that was. I mean, with the former guy was doing, leaking Ole Miss stuff, paying him and asking for help with bills, etc. And then the bong gas mask. Oh, incredible night on Twitter. Has that happened right before the draft? That was great. Great job by Miami. They're players now. Should make the playoffs, and the future's bright. You're stuck behind the Bills in the division, but still. I mean, excellent job by Miami.
What do you think of your childhood team, the Minnesota Vikings?
Another good move. I can't believe Detroit did this. You make a trade in the division and help out the Vikings. Hockenson's a good player. I would say he's top 5 tight end. What a weapon.
He's absolutely in that conversation, for sure.
Remember the game he had when St. Brown and Swift were out? I mean, and it also is a great trade because Irv Smith's out 8 to 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So you help out your division rival, and that's a great move by Minnesota. What a day. I mean, the day starts with the Colts firing their offensive coordinator. It's like no one's talking about that now anymore.
Oh, I mean,
after these trades, but it was left and right when they were coming down and we set a record.
It was fat. Yeah, you're exactly right. I couldn't even really keep up yesterday for a certain stretch because they were coming in so fast. I mean, when Adam Schefter is tweeting, and we got another one, you're like, yeah, today's been a whirlwind in the NFL, but I thought that was a peculiar move from the Lions to help out a division foe.
Yes.
How about that?
And that is bizarre. I don't like what the Bears did either. That's too much for Claypool.
Oh, my God.
Second round pick? The Browns gave up a 5th for Cooper.
Yeah.
And why didn't Dallas get a wide receiver?
They tried.
Well, not good enough. Sorry. Go get Cooper. Go get Cooper back. Or you got to work it out with Cooks. Keep an eye on that. He's very unhappy now. See how if Cooks phones it in the rest of the year. But Dallas had to get a wide receiver. That's a terrible job. And then the Packers don't do anything. Well, I guess you can't be surprised.
Now, how about this? The Packers reportedly offered a 2nd for Claypool, but the reason why the Steelers took the Bears' 2nd-round pick, and it makes sense, obviously, is because they anticipate the Bears having a better pick overall in the draft this year. So that's why they swapped and made the deal with Chicago rather than Green Bay. But as for Green Bay, I mean, you can't be surprised by the Packers.
And
this is who they are and what they do, and they've never done anything in the offseason or during the year to help out their teams. They always try to build during the draft. It's going quite well at this point, isn't it? They've won so many Super Bowls with the Hall of Fame quarterback now for 30 consecutive years. Great job, guys. But honestly, I'm glad the team, they actually made the right move by not giving up anything yesterday, in my opinion. Because let's be honest here, the Packers are much more than a wide receiver away from doing anything this year in this league.
Yeah, if they lose Sunday to Detroit, it's over. Because they have Dallas, Tennessee, and Philly after that.
Yep.
So I'm not sure they win that game either, the way they're playing. But yeah.
Also think about it like this, Paul. And here's why you're right about Claypool for a second is too much by the Bears or the Packers to offer that. DeAndre Hopkins went for a 2nd.
Is that what it was?
That was making the rounds last night on Twitter. And I'm like, that puts it into perspective for you. I mean, Hopkins goes for a 2, who is, when healthy, he's a top 5 wide receiver in the league. Claypool has been like a diva in Pittsburgh. So they're like, yeah, go ahead, get out of here. But now that's clearly going to the guys who are going to benefit from yesterday and you want to keep an eye on, whether it's maybe player props or for fantasy purposes, Pickens, I think, is going to be the big-time beneficiary there in Pittsburgh. Because now he's going to get a majority of those targets, in my opinion, that Claypool was going to see anyway from that team.
How about Ridley being dealt? You believe that? He goes to the team he was betting against.
Yeah, that's
Jacksonville
right.
with the parlay debacle.
I actually like the move for Jacksonville.
Yeah, yeah. If Lawrence can figure it out, which is a big if.
Yep.
Good move by Jacksonville. I like that trade. Good. Yep. So fantastic action and a lot of moves, and I didn't expect that to happen. A lot of moves, period, and then we see a record with all the trades.
I still think that, some of the under-the-radar moves that really made sense. I thought the Bills getting Nyheim Hines was a good move because Zach Moss gives that team essentially nothing. Sorry to see my third cousin go from Buffalo. But Hines is he is a weapon that he's basically Devin Singletary already, so they can just multiply now and have the same guy almost coming out of the backfield. But Allen likes to throw the ball to the backs, and so now you can have Singletary. He needs a rest. Well, Hines is kind of the same guy, and the Colts aren't going anywhere anyway this year. And they didn't know how to utilize Hines and Taylor at the same time. So now Deion Jackson's going to be the guy to take over Hines' role in Indy.
How does Tennessee blow that division now? Not that the Colts are going to win it anyways. But between Sam going the rest of the year, more trades, and we'll see now with Wright taking over. I'm telling you, he's the next to go. Ted, look at the pecking order. Change quarterbacks, owner calls it. OC gone. I mean, who's left? It goes Reichen and Ballard. The next guys are going to be gone in Indy.
Right. It just depends on how quick of a trigger finger the new owners have in Denver. That's the only guy right now, right?
I would say for next coach, Kingsbury appears to be okay now. Now that you get Hopkins back and the offense looks okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and they're in a winnable game situation this week, too. Also, Jeff Wilson going. And give that a week or two. Because, of course, he has that time in San Francisco with Mike McDaniel. So McDaniel certainly knows what he's getting there. Now, look at that. I mean, funny the way that works, right? He can team up Wilson with his former teammate in San Francisco, Mostert. So that's a nice 1-2 combination at running back to go along with what they added on the defensive side of the ball yesterday, too. Yeah, that's the one team that the only team I took a peek at yesterday with the odds. And you said you grabbed him at 28-1.
I understand that's difficult to go to Kansas City.
Well, for sure. I
think that's possible. And with the weapons that they have, and no one can slow downhill. I mean, the Raiders had them down 17, not for nothing. And then thoroughly outplayed, but you beat Buffalo already. So there could be upsets. You never know.
Yeah, I will say this, right? The Bengals went to KC last year and won when they were down big. And this Dolphins team kind of reminds me of the Bengals from last year with their passing attack and the way, you know, Jamar Chase came on as a rookie and Burrow figured it out. And, they were awesome in the air. Well, Tua's kind of, when he's healthy, Tua's doing the same thing with Waddle and Hill.
Well, there were reports the Jets wanted Chubb, too. So that's another big reason that Miami's able to land him and steal them from the Jets, too, and grab him. So between that move and getting another running back, this is big need. Because the offense, you know, get a little boost with the running game, but the passing attack was set, but you needed some help to put pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah.
So problem solved with both moves.
I would actually suggest that maybe the two biggest moves came before yesterday. During the week, McCaffrey to the Niners, but also your team when the Eagles got Robert Quinn.
Yeah. I like Smith to Baltimore, too.
That's a good one.
I think that's a good trade as well.
Yeah.
But I also thought maybe the Eagles could make some other trades, but they should be set now.
Yesterday was so much fun.
Yeah.
Love that idea. That's how you do it. That's what fans deserve across the country. Bettors, again, not so much really move the needle. Maybe a little bit of Miami at some books, but that's pretty much it. Fall sports are in full swing, and Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook is your home for the latest lines, odds, and boosts. Whether you're a football, hockey, basketball, or baseball fan, Bet Rivers has you covered. Join them every week for new promotions like their Tuesday Hockey First Goal Insurance, Friday Night College Football Bet and Get, Sunday Football Parlay Insurance, and more. Head to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app today. It's a whole new game. Win, lose up next. We'll recap the College Football Committee show. Barring a massive collapse, this team is in with a win this weekend. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees.
securities. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callshe.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
VSiN's team of betting experts teach you how they approach the slate with bet systems. Become a smarter bettor and subscribe to VSiN Pro, where you'll learn new bet systems every week right here on our show and at VSiN.com. To join, go to VSiN.com/subscribe. And Josh Applebaum joins the program now, betting analyst right here at VSiN, host of a couple of different podcasts here on the network as well. Josh, good morning. Let's begin with this game that we have between two foes in the NFC West. They played a couple of weeks ago. Arizona was without DeAndre Hopkins. They were favored on the road against Seattle. They did not score an offensive touchdown. And they only scored, 9 points in that entire game. Now, here we go. Fast forward to Sunday. They're at home against Seattle with DeAndre Hopkins. And they're now favored by 2. Your thoughts on this game coming up?
Yeah, Mitch and Paulie, it's great to be with you. And this is kind of the same sort of thing here, Mitch. Even though you're getting DeAndre Hopkins back and some factors have changed, looks like respected money is still looking at Seattle here plus the points. So look at the way this opened, guys. It was as high as Arizona -3.5 at the early opener here late Sunday night. And again, I always like to look at the immediate move once a line drops. Yes, we know there are head fakes where sharps can hit one side at low limits, come back the other way at higher limits to their true position. Billy Walters is kind of the king of that. But oftentimes you see early moves that just continue to be moves throughout the week. So we've seen this quite a bit here with the Seattle Seahawks. Getting a lot of respected money, having a great year. Remember, they were a win total over the offseason, I think just 5.5 juiced up over, and the public narrative was they're going to be terrible. No Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. Well, even one of the best surprises in football here. I believe Pete Carroll's like +1,000, +1,400, somewhere there for coach of the year. Sirianni is the favorite, but he's done a great job here with Seattle this season. But I'll take the points in this one, guys. Open -3.5 Arizona. You're all the way down to -2. So, of course, you missed the key number in this one, but these big moves, which I'm kind of starting to call severe line moves when you see a dog getting at least 1.5 movement in their favor, so 3.5 down to 2 here in this spot, those severe moves, if you take the dog with that big move, 12-6 against the spread this year, 67%. You'd also match a couple systems I love just in general. Divisional dogs, that built-in familiarity, leveling the playing field. Divisional dogs are 58% against the spread this year. Dogs that missed the postseason last year, you can kind of buy low on them. Public perception says they're not very good, but actually that's good, more contrarian value to back them. They're 59% against the spread. Kyler Murray also, guys, has not done very well laying points. Kyler Murray as a favorite in his career, just 9-14 against the spread, 39%. And Pete Carroll has done great as a dog in this spot, kind of like Mike Tomlin as a really good dog coach here. But when Carroll's a dog with Seattle, 45-28 against the spread, 62%, 4-2 ATS this year. So you missed the key number of 3. Maybe you tease it up 2-8, go through 3, go through 7. But I'm looking at Seattle here plus the points. I like this line move for the Seahawks.
How about this big game with the Chargers taking on the Falcons in Atlanta? Chargers off the bye in the listless performance against Seattle. And then Atlanta coming off the overtime thriller and playing the equivalent of 4.5 quarters. What do you think of the Chargers' short road, Chuck?
Yeah, so I'd be looking at the Chargers in this spot, you know, here, Paulie. And again, I'm a big dog better. Dogs have been great all season long. But the one couple angles I like with favorites are if it's a fade the trendy dog where public loves the dog, or if you're coming off a bye. You said the key word there, Paulie, off a bye. If you look historically, and bettors got to, you have to pay attention to this. Teams coming off a bye, you see a big difference between favorites and dogs. Favorites off a bye over the last decade are around 57% against the spread. That would match here with the Chargers. If you isolate just road favorites off a bye, public likes the off a bye, but they like the home teams. It's almost like a contrarian angle to lay the points on the road. It feels kind of gross, but that's even better. That's 65% against the spread, favorites off a bye the last decade. So this number right now, guys, Chargers, it opened -3. We're showing 3.5 on our board. A lot of books are moving to the 3.5. But if you still see a 3 out there, a -3, -120, I think you might want to grab this thing before it moves. This would be that off a bye system match. Also, if you look at non-conference favorites, they do much better than conference favorites. That lack of familiarity benefiting the team that's quote-unquote better based on the odds. Also, a favorite high total. Total in this one is like 49. It got up from 47.5 up to 49. That would also be a good match. Correlative betting with the favorite, more expected points scored, easier to cover the number. Also, guys, maybe you get a big high-scoring game in this one. 54% bets, 90% of the money on the over. I'll be laying it here with the Chargers. It's kind of a high price, but right, money line's -165. Give me the Chargers off a bye.
All right, Monday night, you have to give the Saints a lot of credit for what they did, although I will say that was the worst performance of the year by the Raiders. 70 yards at halftime. Give me a break. But I like this Ravens team. They won 3 out of 4. In the loss, they blew a double-digit lead late against the Giants. What do you think of Baltimore Monday night laying some points, and now they get Smith in the trade?
So I think, you know, obviously bringing in Roquan Smith, great move for them in their futures and their over 9.5 win total and obviously their division bet here. Yes. But, Paulie, kind of what's looking to me in terms of this line is I like the Saints in the same spot as the Browns on Monday night. It's very similar here. The Ravens are the big public play. Across the board, Baltimore's getting around 75% of bets. Makes sense. Lamar Jackson's playing well. Obviously, there's still no respect for New Orleans, even though they had that big win over the Raiders. I don't know who that says more about, the Raiders or maybe the Saints in that one. But in terms of the line movement, cover up the teams here, guys. We have a big public favorite on the road with Baltimore getting 75% of bets. Yet Baltimore actually opened laying 3.5. You're now down to 3. And if you look at the juice on this one, all the juice is toward the Saints, +3 at -115, -120. So I'm actually seeing a couple books even getting down to 2.5 right now. So it's always tough, you know, when to bet a game early in the week, late in the week. To me, I bet it early if I feel like I'm on a key number that's going to get worse. So I jumped on the New Orleans Saints +3 in this one, guys. Dogs 57% against the spread this year. Primetime dogs 58%. Dogs who missed the postseason 59%. Keep an eye on the under in this one too. It did open 49. It's down to 48. You've seen these primetime unders do very well. 45% bets, almost 65% of the money on the under. But I'm grabbing that +3. It feels gross, but this is kind of the primetime hazmat play that's been coming through for bettors. I'll take the Saints +3 here.
Primetime hazmat play. That's a new one. I like it. Got to jot that one down for future use for sure. You can follow Josh on Twitter. He is at Josh_insights. And he hosts two podcasts here for the network. One is called Morning Bets. The other is Market Insights. You can download, subscribe, and listen to those two wherever you get your podcast. Josh, good luck this week. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure. Have a great day.
Yep. You too.
Week 9 tomorrow already. Hello. My God. I got props, my friend. Most wins, Eagles even money, Bills +120, Chiefs +750.
I saw the Eagles down to 11-1 yesterday to go undefeated.
Yep.
I saw
10.
You saw 10?
Yeah. I want to see what Sal Pal says.
When's the loss coming? Who's it going to come to?
That prop is up, yep, and will they go for it? I mean, if they're 14-15-0, are they going to go for
it? Does it matter to them?
Yep. Well, Eagles first loss, Colts +380. Washington 4-1, Packers +425, Houston +550, Giants 9-1. I think Dallas 16-1 when they go to Dallas.
That's in week 16.
Yeah. Yep. Look at that schedule.
Yeah, no, they can.
We've been saying that since September, but come on. It's easier than what we thought now with what's happened to Green Bay and Indy. Washington at home Monday night after they bury the Texans tomorrow. Colts, Packers, they get the Titans at home.
Oh, Sam Ellinger's in for a rude awakening.
Right, but at Giants, at Bears, and it's a Cowboy game. And it also will be back-to-back-to-back road games, which I think that'll get them. And then they close with two home games.
What do you make that point spread, Eagles at Cowboys right now?
Oh, boy.
Pick them? I think the Cowboys.
What was the first game? Were they seven?
Six and a half,
with
I believe.
Rush? Okay. Yeah.
Assuming Dak's going to be back.
It depends how Dallas is playing going in, though, too.
Yeah, I said back. But, I know he's back, but I'm saying like fully back and healthy and everything.
Good. Fewest wins. Houston, minus 115. Carolina, 4-1. Pittsburgh, plus 650. Fewest
you
wins.
You know, there's an angle there that might make why at this point, why would the Steelers want to win games?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Tankapalooza.
Tomlin's job is completely secure.
Right.
Right? They're not going to fire him. They could be on board with that. And then if they would, you know, they could do one of two things here. If they got, like, the number one pick over on the draft, they could probably hold that pick and take, like, a Will Anderson type from Alabama. And then you could have Anderson and T.J. Watt on the same defensive line, which could be just potentially deadly. Or they could say, all right, every team behind us, like, we know that you need a quarterback. We took our guy last year in Kenny Pickett. We're okay with that. What are you going to give us now? Do you want Stroud? Do you want Young? Do you want Levis? Do you want another one? We have the first pick. It can be yours. Yep. Make us a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be... Now, it's easier said than done because they're going to have some serious competition like you talked about.
Yeah.
Lions?
That's in play. Sure it is.
That's another guy you got to watch out for, Johnny. Campbell. And you've been all over that for like a month now.
Four wins. Come on. Four wins. Shut out at halftime. Shut out in the second half. I'll tell you what's a hound's breakfast. To lead the league in interceptions. Have you looked at this?
I have not.
Well, Matt Ryan leads the league, but obviously done for the year. Pickett has eight picks, even though it was Trubisky to start the year. Pickett's the favorite, plus 450. Pickett has eight. Stafford has eight. Mack has seven. Mills, Fields, Mariota, Burrow, Murray, Lawrence, Allen, Goff, Jackson all have six. This is a mess.
Wow.
Brissett's 14-1. Fields is 14-1. So is Lawrence. Goff's 12-1.
I would take a peek at Fields because he's going to play the entire year.
Yeah.
Right? They're not going to yank him. Some of the other guys, I think, are probably going to get benched at some point.
I don't want Mac. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Zappy again.
Right, right.
I mean, this is crazy, this race for the lead the league in interceptions. Well, case for five guys.
It could be Old Faithful again here, right?
Sure, it could. It
could be Matthew Stafford.
Oh, absolutely. Did it last year.
Yeah, he did.
Right.
Yeah. I followed the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, again, what a day it was yesterday in sports. The axe was dropped on Steve Nash's head in Brooklyn. The fact that the odds on the Nets are this long to be the one seed in the East tells you how big of a mess they truly are. We'll give you that number coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Sign up to bet the Breeders' Cup, horse racing's number one app. First bet, get a $10 free bet, plus 100% match of your first deposit up to $200. Promo code HORSE200 to claim the offer. Picks and insight, VSiN.com, brought to you by First Bet and the Breeders' Cup picks, VSiN.com/horses. Sal Pal joins us now, great ESPN reporter. NFL matchup, ESPN, the Deuce, ESPN Plus does a great job. He joins us now to talk NFL and everything Philadelphia. Thanks for the time as always, sir. A record 10 trades on deadline day. How about a couple that you really liked and teams that really improved in your opinion?
First of all, I love Follow the Money. I think it's the best name for a show. I mean, I'm a Watergate baby, as you know.
Oh.
I came to journalism during Watergate, and Follow the Money was big. But, you know, my dad, Vito, rest his soul, was a union negotiator for the AFL-CIO in Queens and Brooklyn. And he always used to say, the answer to all your questions, my son, is more money on the table.
Right? That's great.
More money on the table.
Yeah.
So I love the Bradley Chubb trade. I absolutely love that. I think the Dolphins were a pass rusher away from really making some serious noise if they can keep their quarterback healthy. They obviously need to find some way to neutralize Josh Allen. That's one way to do it. Clearly, Steve Spagnuolo figured it out for a while, and then Josh Allen has figured out Steve Spagnuolo's defense a little bit because Spagnuolo just throws so many bodies at him and has been blitzing him. But if you can get to Allen, like the Steelers did now, go back to week one and watch what the Steelers did last year. when Watt was healthy. They went up to Buffalo and beat Allen with a four-man rush when Watt was healthy. So, you know, I think the Dolphins coaching staff, smart coaching staff, they have a very good defensive staff. And they realize if you start blitzing Josh Allen too much, he will kill you because he can run away from the blitz and you don't want to leave all those weapons open. So they need to get four men after Josh, and Chubb will do that. And if they can do that with a little bit of a mush rush like Jim Johnson used to do in Philly against Michael Vick, right? So you don't go headlong after him and go too far beyond the pocket, and you keep Allen corralled in the pocket, you got a shot.
Very good.
Yeah.
I love the trade as well, and also getting Wilson. Uncle Sal, the last time you were on, I said the Eagles, I'd be very disappointed if they don't win 14 or 15 games. There's a prop up who's going to hand Philly their first loss. I'm looking at Dallas. Ooh. Dallas is 16-1. Who do you think gets Philly their first loss?
Okay, let's go through the schedule. You ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're double-digit favorites. They're 14-point favorites over the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles, I think, have been 5-0-1 against the spread. Some ridiculous number. 14's a lot to lay, but I think they win the game outright. I'm not sure if they cover because going on the road on a short week, but they beat the Texans. And then after that, they've got the Commanders right on Monday Night Football after a short bye. I know Heinicke's feeling it strong, but I still think the Eagles are 10-point favorites over Washington. I don't see Washington beating them at all. And then what's after that? Indy?
Yeah, they go at Indy. Yep, at the Colts and the Packers at home.
Yeah, so, wow. I don't see them. The only one I think that's in play is the Commanders game on Monday Night Football, honestly, because Heinicke, he's playing with house money, guys.
Yeah.
He's totally fearless. He's playing like a guy who doesn't care. Like he wakes up and says, I don't, listen, what can you do to me? You're not going to send me to see and take away my birthday. I've already happened that. That's already happened to me.
Yeah.
Right? As we used to say in the Navy, that's already happened to me. You took away my birthday and sent me to sea. What else can you do to me, Commander? So I mean, no pun intended.
Right.
I think that's it with Heinicke. He's like, all right. He wakes up thinking, hey, I'm Taylor Heinicke. I'm an NFL quarterback. I'm going to take my chances. And I think the players respond to that. So I am going to say and shock the world. I'm going to say, the Commanders might be the team that upsets the Eagles on Monday Night Football in Philly.
Yeah.
You want to get
of course,
okay?
If you play that up back in Philly, I'm dead, man.
No,
you
I won't do it.
Yeah.
We won't do it. Well, you want to get nuts though? I mean, what if they're 14-0 going into Dallas? Do they want to go for it? Then at that point, 17-0 is like 11-1.
Yeah. Well, they never want to beat Dallas. They never want to lose to Dallas. What is losing to Commanders? What is that number? How much?
4-1.
20-1?
4.
Wow. So I'm not that far off.
No. No, that's...
not that far off.
Yeah, but if they are, like let's say they are undefeated and they only have 3 or 4 games left on the stretch, I'm guessing they haven't talked about it yet. Maybe they have, I don't know. Do you think this team with their makeup would actually want to try to run the table and go 17-0?
I think they will try to run the table and go 17-0. I think they want to make history. I think Sirianni is just a super competitive dude. See, what the untold story, or it's been told a little bit, but not enough, is you have two coaches' sons. Very rare. Sirianni is a coach's son.
Mm-hmm.
His brothers are coaches. Jalen Hurts is a coach's son.
Mm.
Hurts pushes Sirianni, and Nick pushes Jalen, and they have what they call, in the locker room, they have a sign called dog mentality, D-A-W-G, whereas, and the basic premise is, don't tell me what you did, just tell me what you're going to do. And that's a coach's mantra. And I think Nick and Jalen together are teaching the team that every play and every game has to be treated as sacrosanct.
That is an incredible answer.
It is.
It's Follow the Money here on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network. Sal Palantonio from ESPN, our guest. So, since like week three or four, Sirianni has been basically around even money to win the coach of the year. I think he actually touched being the odds on favorite at some point. Let's say they don't go 17-0, but they're, you know, 15-2 in that ballpark. And you have other teams like the Giants, maybe winning 10 games and making the playoffs, or the Seahawks, like winning 10, 11 games, winning the NFC. They were like 50-1 to win their division, Sal. Would either Carroll or Daboll have a chance to win coach of the year, or under that scenario, is it still going to be Sirianni?
I think it's Sirianni. If you go on my Instagram, SalPalESPN, I actually posted a photograph of the VSiN column in the New York Post a couple of weeks ago that had Sirianni as the odds-on favorite to win coach of the year.
Yeah.
Check it out. I watch everything that you guys do. I read about it all the time in the Post. You guys do a great job with that kind of stuff, and I follow it very, very closely. And I agree with you. I think it's Sirianni, and because the way the team is playing, so I'm very big on point differential.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys down on 2 Street or wherever they are, they'll talk about a point differential, Sal, pal. Uncle Sal, look at the point differential. The game is about points scored and points allowed. So right now there are only 13 teams, which is unbelievable. I think it's an NFL record going into week 9, where only 13 of the 32 teams have a positive point differential going into week 9. That's a very low number, Paul. Mm-hmm. Very, very low number. And you look at it, so the Bills are at 105, and they're the only team over 100. And the Eagles, I believe, are plus 78 in that kind of ballpark. They're number 2. So the point differential of those two teams is so much better than everybody else. And my preseason pick, you can verify it on ESPN.com, to go to the Super Bowl in Arizona was Buffalo and Philly.
Yeah. I hope we get it.
Oh, big madness.
So I followed you on Instagram. I just liked the photo. It took me 2 seconds to find it. Thank you for sharing that, by the way. That's great. We have like a minute left here. What would, I mean, Philadelphia is the hottest city on the planet right now, especially in the sports world, obviously. Sal, this is amazing. The World Series games featuring Houston and Philadelphia. Thursday Night Football has, what if that game was in Philly? Those two stadiums are right next to each other.
Oh, yes, they are, literally. But believe me, I've been down there a lot in my life. I mean, that would be, Houston, we got a problem. Because, listen, let me just give you an example. So after the Steelers game, you know, which was a blowout, okay, total blowout, Steelers game on Sunday, I wait a little bit. I interview Nick. I talk to Jalen in the locker room. I do my post-game stuff. I go up to the press box. I get a little after-game cannoli. I get a little decaf coffee because you don't want to have the caffeinated stuff at like 4 p.m., right? Because right. Then you're painting the then you're painting the basement at 3 o'clock in the morning. Right?
How we go.
I get the decaf and the cannoli, and then I'm in my car. And I'm going nowhere. It's a total traffic jam. I live 11 miles from the stadium. It took me 2 hours to get home. If that happened on Thursday night where they were both playing, it would take you a day to get home. It would be unbelievable. The traffic, the noise would be crazy.
A-plus. A-plus.
A-plus. You're the best,
A-plus,
Sal.
Uncle Sal. Talk
Thank
to you.
You
soon. Great. Money on the table. More money on the table.
Yes, there you go. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome back. DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL. And this season, new customers can bet $5 on any team and pocket $200 in free bets if your money line bet wins. Download the app. Use code VSiN when you sign up. Got to be 21. Available to play in select states. DraftKings.com for full details.
Here we go. Wednesdays with the maestro, the VP of Circa Sports, also the D in Golden Gate in downtown Las Vegas. Mike Palm joins us in studio. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Good morning and welcome back, Mitch. Good morning, Paul. Good morning, hey, Coventry, Rhode Island, our loyal Nesson family that's watching Durham, North Carolina, watching on Masson. Durham, North Carolina, of course, the setting of arguably the greatest 30 for 30 of all time. Fantastic Lies. Kewanee, Illinois. Peekaboo, Marquee. We see you. Bakers Narrows, Manitoba. Oh, Canada. Rogers Sportsnet. Wind Ridge, Pennsylvania. We say good morning to AT&T in the Pittsburgh area. And Baker, California, home of the world's largest thermometer sunrise over Spectrum.
Good job.
We cannot walk the streets in Baker.
Nope. Can't do it.
Population 6.
Duke lacrosse scandal?
Yeah.
Oh,
fantastic.
My God.
Lies.
I watched that.
The DA went to prison. Think about that.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, my God.
That's an unbelievable story.
Yes,
they did
it
a great job with
that.
That
is some watch.
Yeah, that's in the mix for sure. Along
Pony
with
Excess.
The,
I Pony like Excess. Pony Excess.
Good. Amazing. And
we got a payroll to meet.
Good.
Yeah, that's
governor
right.
Governor of Texas.
Yeah. That's right.
He used it. What, yeah. He sent it from SMU. Hey-o. Yeah, you are correct, sir. It's like Karnak. Right. Unbelievable. But that was the other thing too. This we got because we were talking. Were you a big Watergate guy? I have watched over 100 hours of Watergate stuff.
You really?
Unbelievable. But well, it's left and right. They're putting out new shows and
not really. I find fascinating a little bit the senators that were on that committee and they're all their backstories in that.
That was good.
The Sam Irvin, the guy from New Mexico,
oh,
another guy.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
There's some interesting characters on that committee.
Yeah, Shea Wiggin, great tweet. I watched the show Gaslit. Shea Wiggin plays G. Gordon Liddy and does a phenomenal job. Sean Penn played John Mitchell, Julia Roberts, Martha Mitchell. Next year on HBO, White House Plumbers. Woody Harrelson's in it. Justin Theroux plays G. Gordon Liddy and Cersei Lannister. Leah Hedy is in it as well.
That's the name of the show?
White House Plumbers.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
With the break-in and the cover-up and everything. I mean, that is... It's just like, what happened? What are you? He couldn't be beat. He was cruising. I mean, a lunatic Nixon. Awesome television.
Okay. All right. Very good. Mike, did the sportsbook here at Circa adjust any future numbers after the trade deadline was completed yesterday?
I think when I looked before and after, Miami's the only one. It went from like 37 or 38 to 1 to 35 to 1. Not significant, right? It's nothing blockbuster that would move it, you know, 10 points or something like that, or something 10-1 to 8-1 or anything. So we'll see. I mean, they tried to combat Josh Allen, maybe if they have to meet him again in the playoffs. So I don't hate those moves.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier. Yeah. I think people are maybe a little bit confused by this when we said they still have to go through Kansas City on the road and then at Buffalo. Obviously, we're talking about the playoffs. We're not talking about the regular season.
Yeah.
That means their playoff run as of right now, and hence books are not really adjusting that much on the Dolphins.
Yeah, and obviously their moves, they believe they're going to be a wild card. I mean, they did beat Buffalo, and although Buffalo gained them 2-1 in that game. But how do you position yourself as a wild card and be able to navigate through the AFC? That's the spot, and that's what they're trying to do. They're in for it now.
And plus, you have to consider this, too. I mean, the passing game for the Dolphins at this point clearly is legit.
Mm.
When Tua is healthy and he plays, they win football games, and it really works. I mean, Tyreek Hill has been, by the way, I think a good bet right now, if you can find it, Hill, 7-1, Offensive Player of the Year. He has almost 1,000 yards receiving after 8 games.
All right.
On pace almost to get to 2,000, become the first receiver ever. But what if we're talking about January now, and if they go to KC and Buffalo, there's potential wind, there's potential snow, it's maybe a little bit cold, obviously, in Buffalo.
All right, that's fair.
And if the passing game is not working, I mean, they're going to have to win with defense in the running game, potentially. Like, that's probably not a good recipe for that team.
Interesting this week when they have to go to Chicago if it's windy or
that's
weather
right.
there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We're very high on the Eagles. And for people who are
did you make the bet? 11-1? 17-0? Make that bet and then bet the Cowboys will be the team that beat them.
I like that's what I
would
like.
Do both ways.
Yeah, 16-1. But then you're thinking maybe with the rollover, but they're such big favorites in these games.
Well, so the other thing is they're always up 2 scores at half, though.
That's true.
You can get huge money line the other way, at halftime.
They're perfect ATS in the first
they're
half.
They're so good in the first half of these games.
Yep. Very true.
Okay, so this is Circa, the Twitter account, sent out this tweet yesterday, explaining the hot start for the season leaders. We're pretty much at the midway point right now of the season. But look at this now. Tail Party 2, they're only hitting 32-8 so far.
That's all.
That's it.
How depressing.
That's what you have to compete
with. That's only 80%.
Oh, God.
It's only, rough here, maybe around 80%. That's all.
In second place, Merciless, 9-16-1, 39-1 on the year. Then Gambling Rats, 29-9-2, and if you flip it and look at the entries going for the booby prize, look at Jackson Bell, 831-1, and two teams are on his heel. By the way, I think it's IE Analytics. Analytics weren't they going for the booby prize all year long? I think that was the one entry, 10-29-1, along with Ace Puppy 1.
Is that Private Plane Wayne? I think that is.
Is it really?
Isn't it Private Plane Wayne's? He wanted to go. Yeah, I think you might have something there, Mitch.
I haven't fished him out. That guy's got a 2.5 game lead with the 831-1, right? Or a 2-game lead. Yeah, 2-game lead. So I thought the interesting story was this guy, Sergios 2, that was 0-15 through the first 3 weeks. He had a disastrous week, went 3-2.
Oh, no.
But he's still 3-17, and he's leading by a half game over 4 other entries. But this is, of course, the last week of the second quarter coming up here.
Imagine that. You start 0-15, and now you're in a major sweat to win that for the quarter.
Sure.
Oh, what action.
But that was the thing I was searching for on Monday was what that guy did. Because we've never had anyone go 15-0. So for someone to go 0-15, that's the record.
Yeah. You know, for people I've talked to who don't live here in Las Vegas, but they play in contests, they like the Survivor for the most part, and they're basically telling me right now, boy, you really have to compete with all the pros in the Pick'em contest, right? Well, my response is, some of the pros do well the year in and year out in these, 5-point spread picks every single week. But it's not just the pros you're competing. You're picking half of these entries are probably just people who got in and they're blazing hot at this point.
Well, you know, we always do the thing, the awards ceremony at the end of the year on Wild Card Weekend, on that Friday before the Wild Card Weekend starts. And I'm thinking about last year, there was a cook, an Uber driver, a 6th grade teacher. I mean, these were the people that were in the top 10 of the millions.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. You know, plus there's a few pros.
Oh, of course, they're going to be sprinkled.
But it's not like these guys aren't bettors. I mean, they've obviously been betting football and that, but they don't have any history of contest success.
Right. You're going to have new people pop up every single year. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're getting 4,000 entries in a contest like this, and that's what you're up against here.
I hate to urinate on the parade, but that's going to go down, don't you think? This is depressing. hey, how you doing in the contest? I'm 29-9-2. Oh, I'm in, you know, three-way tie for third.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
For somebody,
the survivor's just going to go up, 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 and up. And then this, I mean, you see this, an incredible job. I mean, what you've done to take out the Westgate. But again, this is just, how do you be 32-8? And then, okay, I'm going to lose on purpose. Okay, well, 8-31-1.
Well, mean, but here's the key, I think, to the contest, though.
Yeah.
It's going to be the adjustments made to the quarterlies.
Yeah.
And that's going to be very enticing to people who look at this and say, well, I can't go 32-8.
No.
But you know what?
But I might go 17-3.
Bingo. Sure. Bingo. That's exactly right.
And a good job paying top 100, too, though.
Yeah. Well, that was a legitimate criticism that, you know, with 4,000 people, you only went 50 deep.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. Uh-huh. You want to. You have a run and you hit 63%, you don't get nothing back. I mean, that's depressing. Yeah.
I know. That stings. Where you at with Survivor? And we only lost two people.
But the same guy.
Oh, I know.
Same guy lost both his entries.
Yeah.
The Colts one is terrible, though. What's Frank Reich? He had 6 inches to go to win the game, and he punts?
Yeah.
And then they go 90 yards?
Yeah, 90 yards.
That's got to be sick. I mean, Jacksonville.
And then the completion to McLaurin anyway. Yeah, come on.
It's tough. So now we march on 123. This is kind of an interesting week. People don't want to use the Bills, obviously, right? You're saving them for Thanksgiving. Boy, if they would lose in Detroit on Thanksgiving, it might be over.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody that's got them, I'm sure is going to use them. Sort of an interesting week where you go here. Do you go, you know, do you go Patriots? Do you test the Vikings on the road? I don't know if you want to use a road team. You take Cincinnati. They're the biggest favorite other than the Bills. But you know, they look so bad not adjusting off Chase being out trying to run the same offense.
Right.
It was horrific Monday night.
Yep.
That was awful.
And Burrow's running for his life again. Kind of resorted back to the early season Bengals that we saw.
Well, that line is still the line it was last year, right? They didn't really get any better on the offensive line.
They were supposed to. That's a major disappointment for that team, you know?
I'll have to look at the matrix. How many people have the Chiefs left and how many have the Eagles left? I mean, most people use the Eagles.
Chiefs against against the Titans this week and just run the ball. Willis.
Yeah, or you use them next week against Jackson.
I mean, don't you have to really, like, if you still have the Chiefs, you're probably waiting here because of the matchup and because it's Andy Reid off the bye.
Yeah, it's no Tannehill is the thing, right? Isn't that the? I mean, they're just going to run the football.
Yeah,
I mean, come
they
on.
Didn't even disguise it at all.
Fifty yards passing.
That was it. They didn't even try at all. Yeah. And then you look ahead to next week. We were kicking this around earlier in the show. Would you go Giants at home to the Texans?
Boy, Texans are bad. That offense is really bad. I thought Davis Mills was better than this.
So did I.
They went backwards. Half of their possessions were negative yards last week at home.
70 yards on the final drive. It's 70 yards entering the final drive.
Yeah.
It's almost as bad as the Raiders.
Yeah.
Yep.
Didn't cross midfield till the 2-minute warning.
Well, that was the worst performance for sure.
They were the highest scoring team in the league. 29 points a game. 50-1 to have the lowest point total.
You have to say it.
Shut out.
You have to say it. Bad hire. You have to say it. It's enough already. He took over a playoff team, and he was terrible in Denver. I mean, come on. You have all those weapons. You get shut out?
He doesn't have an excuse. I'm sorry.
He doesn't? They were a playoff team.
How many new coaches take over a 10-win playoff team? Like, that rarely
almost
happens.
Almost never.
Ever. Exactly right. We'll continue with Mike Palm coming up next. The 5 biggest gaffes of the previous week per the maestro in no hyperbole coming up here. And follow the Money Beast and the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Sign up to bet the Breeders' Cup with horse racing's number one app. First bet, get a $10 free bet plus 100% match of your first deposit up to $200. Use the promo code HORSE200 to claim your offer. Siegel is on Friday, by the way. Breeders' Cup picks and insight on VSiN.com. Brought to you by First Bet. VSiN.com/horses for details. And get the Breeders' Cup wager guide as well, VSiN.com/horses.
Here we go. The great Matt Baskirgin joins the program now. We'll talk Game 4 of the World Series, basically a pick'em right now between Nola and Javier. How you doing, pal?
Pretty surprised after last night. Doing good. I mean, that was, you know, I'm not sure what I was more surprised about, final result or the fact that Lance McCullers just refused to throw his heater. It was befuddling to me, and that's kind of why I don't really buy all the scandal theory stuff kicking around on social media about pitch tipping. Anytime somebody gets hit in a big postseason game, someone's always out there, like, you know, cutting up video like it's this Bruder film, trying to prove that he's pitch tipping. I think they just eliminated the fastball. And you put any big league hitter in that situation where they can eliminate the one pitch off of which everything works. And that's what happened last night, in my mind at least.
So what do you think the game plan is tonight for the Astros and Christian Javier, who is very good? How do they approach this Phillies lineup? Absolutely on fire. I don't know how you pitch to Bryce Harper. His K prop, by the way, is 5.5. The over is -105.
Yeah, that's kind of where I figured they'd open that. You know, remembering what Javier did in his last postseason start at Yankee Stadium, he was on cruise control the whole night. It was a 5 1/3 of real breezy innings, one hit, punched out 5. I wouldn't be surprised if you see something similar out of him tonight. And the one caveat would be, in that last start against the Yankees, he was working off a 10-day rest. Tonight, 10-day rest. The additional rest did not bode well for McCullers last night. He's a field guy. Breaking ball guys don't want that much rest. I think Javier will be fine. We're so hyper-reactive in these games, and the team that puts up the big number is always the one that the public thinks is going to steamroll its way to 2 more wins, and they're going to win it, and they're not going back to Houston. The Astros are good, man. I have a lot of trust in Javier tonight. Laying -105 at over 5.5, I think that's pretty intriguing. And I think he's going to be pretty good tonight.
I love the whole angle. If they lose, then what happens? Because then you have Verlander, who doesn't have a win in the World Series, trying to save the season. And then what do you do then if you're the Phillies? Do you throw Wheeler to close them out? You don't want to go back to Houston? Is it Thor? And then Wheeler in game 6? I like that scenario, too. If it's 3-1, then what happens? It gets juicy.
Yeah, that's fun. I know Rob Thompson said that they want Wheeler for game 6, but he might just pivot on that if they win tonight.
Yeah.
You don't want to go back to Houston. You just don't want to go back to that lair where every one of their hitters is anywhere from marginally better to, in the case of guys like Altuve and Bregman, a lot better. So, yeah, I would think that they might reconsider that pitching plan. I'll say this, too. Like, the first run of the game has been so important. And after the leadoff walk in the bottom of the first yesterday and then the unraveling that happened pretty quickly for McCullers, the Astros allowed the opponent to score first in a league-low 39% of their games last year. The Phillies, on the other hand, scored first in a bottom 10 rate, less than 50%. So all the math says the Astros should put up the first run. The Phillies should be the team with the tight toughness, and Houston rolls the way they did the entire playoff run. It's just not happening, and there's something you can't quantify about postseason crowds, about wild fan bases like that in Philly, that you throw all the math out the window.
Yep. I said it before you came on. This is the 1987 Minnesota Twins. They won the World Series and won 85 games. They were awesome at home. Phillies won 87 games. They're 6-0 in the postseason. It's crazy. The home runs and the fan base, and they're going bananas.
It's a good call. The only difference is the 87 Twins were turning on the air conditioners whenever the Twins were at the plate, and they would blow the balls out of the fence. That is, by the way, that's one of those scandal theory things in baseball that I kind of bite down on. I got no problem believing that.
Okay.
One.
Okay. Right. So what do you want to do now with Bryce Harper? I don't know how they're going to continue pitching to this guy. I said he's Barry Bonds right now. You can't give him anything close. And he was 4-1 to hit a home run last night. Well, guess what? There's been another adjustment because he's red hot, down to +330 or +340. Will he see anything tonight, Matt?
No, and you just can't. I mean, those numbers are so bad. Schwarber's probably around the same place, I would imagine. He's the scarier plate appearance than Bryce based on his takes and his foul balls. I mean, he is on everything, Schwarber. It's almost like he's playing for stakes that aren't the World Series right now. He's that locked in. You know, the pre-series futures for MVP were pretty interesting. And I think we've had this discussion before, how the World Series MVP is determined on a vote by about 5 or 6 people. And those long shots are pretty intriguing. Steve Pierce in 2018, I don't think anybody saw Billy Hatcher going nuts when the Reds swept the A's in that World Series number of years ago. So it's that dark horse guy that's interesting. Homering tonight, the numbers are bad. Even the MVP numbers weren't really worth the squeeze on Harper and Schwarber. Bryson Stott was plus 15,000 to win World Series MVP. I thought that was pretty fun. But you just got to stay away from the guys who are so chalky, and it's going to be somebody else. Bohm homering yesterday would have been fun to be on. Brandon Marsh would have been fun to be on. So I think for sport, it's just more fun to look down in the board more.
Well, okay, so are those two guys that you would look at right now for maybe adjusted MVP odds?
I don't think so. I think, you know, like Schwarber and Harper already have a leg up, and the narrative stuff is building for them. Real Muto had the big, you know, the one big game. If it's Houston, it might be a more wide open field, despite Kyle Tucker's big game one. Altuve had a three-hit game, but he hasn't done much outside that. Yordan Alvarez hasn't done much outside that. You know what it's kind of set up for? Ranger Suarez, 5 scoreless innings yesterday. He might get the ball again in a decisive game. I mean, boy, imagine being on Ranger Suarez before the series started for World Series MVP.
Yeah, there you go. We always in the NFL, we talk about home field advantage, and you brought up this Philly crowd earlier, but what do you think that is? Is there any way to quantify that in a spot like this in the World Series where the fans are just going absolutely crazy?
I don't know if there's a way to quantify it. I just know that the breed is a little different there, as you guys know. it applies to all 4 major seasonal sports in that city. They go most bonkers for the Eagles. The Phillies a really close second. And then the Flyers and Sixers can duke it out for 3rd place on that chart. I mean, the fervor that city is wrapped up in right now is it wasn't like that in 2009. And we were there covering the World Series that year when they lost to the Yankees. It wasn't there in 2008 when they beat the Rays, because there was something about that series with the Rays as an opponent, no offense, the rain out. It just didn't have the juice that this one has. And not to mention, the Phillies were huge underdogs pre-flop. They were dead and buried in the month of June. So all that kind of just further juices up an already pumped up fan base.
The great Mascursion, our guest, MLB Network. I don't know the next time we're going to have a chance to talk to you, but 2 minutes left. What happens with Aaron Judge?
I don't see any other route than him staying in New York. Oh. He has the hammer. They have to keep him. They are going to end up overpaying. They're going to have to back up a series of Brinks trucks to keep him there. But I cannot imagine where they would go as a franchise if they let him walk to another suitor. And there will be suitors out there. You don't allow a Yankee to reset a franchise, an American League home run record, and then walk in his next year as a homegrown guy. Mm-hmm. If he was a guy that they imported in from another team on a 4-year deal and ended up having 2 monster seasons, maybe not. But they don't. There's nothing else to market there if they let Aaron Judge walk. And I think he stays with the Yankees.
Matt, excellent spot as always. We love having you on. Enjoy the game tonight and the rest of the World Series. Thank you as always.
All right, boys. I'll be listening. Thanks.
Be good.
You're the best.
Yes, he is. Matt Vasgersian, right. MLB Network. Okay, here you go. Time for the pro tip of the hour in the NFL. Favorites off the bye, 57% the last decade. Road favorites, 65%. Chargers, 3.5 at Atlanta this week.
I like them. If not now, when? Atlanta off the overtime game. Had to play almost an extra quarter. Chargers off the bye. Pathetic performance against Seattle. If not now, when?
There you go. You get that every single hour across every single show here on VSiN. So that means at least 20 every single day. And they're available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com. Where you can sort them by sport and by show. I would say today's show, very easy to dance to. I'd give that like a 91.3.
Yeah.
That was very fun.
94.
94, you want to go
Sal high. Powell was great.
Oh, he was so
Matt
good.
Matt was great. Palm was great. Yes.
All everybody.
Yep. Applebaum.
Yesterday, the day in sports was just incredible.
Yep. Trade deadline. Record trades.
Yep.
NBA coach fired.
Committee.
World Series committee.
We'll do it all again tomorrow, 7 Eastern then. See ya. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct.
$20 bonus if you go to callshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.